Oh, okay. Well, I
Go ahead,
listened.
Becky.
Okay, so let me hit, get my button here. Got it. Okay, so, got it. We're
Okay.
on. Yeah, so yeah, I missed being on yesterday, but I listened to the recording, and one of the things that kind of popped out at me was what RJ was saying about Atlantis being in the United States. Well, about I don't know, just a few days ago, I listened to somebody, and I can't remember who because it was somebody new, I think. And they were talking about how Atlantis was Ireland.
I know. And I, to be honest with you, I really truly don't know where Atlantis is.
Right.
What we do know is that it is going to come back up. So, can it be in the United States? Well, I guess it could be off the coast of California,
Here's
right?
food for thought. Okay, I actually in back a few years ago, I actually did a little bit of research on Atlantis,
Good.
and I found two possibilities. One was that Atlantis is part of Antarctica,
Yep.
and the other one is it's possible that it could be in if you're looking at let's say Salt Lake City. Well, Salt Lake City can't become Salt Lake City because it's lots of salt, unless there was an ocean there at one point.
So
Yep.
that could be a possibility, yeah.
Right. So I don't know if that for a fact, but I know that there's a lot of salt up there, and that can't happen on naturally, right? It has to be like an ocean up there, and
Yeah.
there's other
Yeah.
stuff, there's other skeleton stuff that's been found up there. So, anyways,
Yeah.
that's a possibility there as well, but. The reason why the one from the Atlantis one was from Antarctica was part of the polar shift that happened back 4,600 years ago or plus or whatever it was. It's actually 10,000 years, so we've had two since then. So,
14, Atlantis was 14,000 years ago.
okay, so three.
Just saying.
Yeah, okay,
Wow,
so, all right, so,
14,000.
all right, so that's three polar shifts.
Yep.
Yeah, so in a polar shift, it supposedly happens about every 4,600 years, roughly. And we're right in
Yep.
that time frame for actually,
Again.
well, not necessarily a polar one, but at least a
A
magnetic one.
partial one, a
Yeah,
magnetic one. Isn't that supposed to be next year or something?
a pole shift rather than a polar shift, right? So,
Explain what the difference is, huh?
Yeah, right. Yes,
yeah, okay.
please.
So a pole shift is simply where the magnetics of, let's say, South Pole move to the North Pole, and the North Pole magnetics move to the South Pole. And then that will cause a little bit of havoc for the planet. But a polar shift is much more devastation involved. We're talking in the neighborhood. It's been estimated about 80% devastation for the whole planet in general. So the best way I can describe that, so if you're looking at this circle here, if you're looking at our planet, it's not round, it's spherical, so it's like an egg shaped, okay? But what happens is that's the physical. So now what happens is on a polar shift, it has to do with Nibiru, right? That other planet, Planet X, that comes into our solar system every 4,600 years. So, anyways, okay, so if you look up Planet X or Nibiru, it's also called Wormwood, I think. There's several names to it. But, anyways, this particular planet is about the size of Jupiter. And Jupiter is something like 1,000 times the size of planet Earth. So, at any rate, when it comes into our solar system, it brings in another star system, right? So, it's actually part of our twin star system. So, we're like a binary star system, I think it's with Sirius. So at any rate, so what happens is when that star system comes into our star system, it happens like what do you call it? From a galactic calendar, something like 26,000 years for it to come around full circle. So when it, at any rate, when this Nibiru comes in, or Planet X, it will pass by Earth in its orbit, and the gravitational pull will pull us, the whole planet, with it. Okay. So what happens is our planet, when it gets pulled, it goes on about a 30 to 40 degree angle. Okay. So we're like this, and it just changes about 30 to 40 degrees. And then all the water starts shifting, right? So if you remember seeing that movie 2012, right? Where you get the mile high wave coming over, that's sort of the concept, right? But that's
what was happening in that movie? Was that what was happening?
I can't remember.
We should watch that again.
It's a typical disaster movie, but yeah. So anyway, yeah. So that's what a polar shift is. That's where water just gets, the whole planet gets pushed, and then the water starts moving, right? So and that actually happens every 4,600 years, that I'm aware of, anyways.
There is so much. My brain feels so like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to explain it. My brain has got so much stuff in it that I've learned, but it's hard to retain it all, understand it all. I want to say it's making me crazy. The last few days, I feel like I'm going crazy. I'm serious.
Okay. So you probably need to disconnect from social media.
Well, I was gone from it all day yesterday because I was at my church. Yeah,
that's good. That's what you need to do, because that's your brain's telling you it's on overload. So take a break.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do it for a week. Sometimes they do it for 2 weeks, sometimes a month.
And we know about social media and mainstream media in general. It's a lot of it's BS. So it's
right.
It's,
yeah.
And it's recycled stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes.
There's nothing new. And that if RV gets called, we're gonna contact you. So it's not like you have to stay in contact for that reason.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just listening to IM 2.2. He had a show on yesterday, which I was gone until like 9 o'clock last night at my church. So when I come home, it's like, oh, I just
you were tired.
I was tired, and I just so I'm trying to do the catch up, the Zoom from you guys yesterday, and then I stumbled on because I noticed that IM 2.2 hadn't been on for a long, long time. And when I stumbled on it, you know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is. I've heard of that IM 2.2, but
right.
Is it JFK?
No. He's a military guy, and he's very, very informative. And I'm from Ohio, and he's also from Ohio, but he's one of the last ones that are left that were given some kind of a special
anthrax.
Yes, anthrax. Thank you. Yes.
So he's sick.
So it made everybody so sick, and died except for him. But he is really sick, and he's supposed to somehow be one of the first people to do a video of him going through the med beds. Which I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened yet, but it could have happened already because he hasn't done a live stream for at least a month, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I was listening because it's like a 3 or 4 hour show. So I only got the first hour of it listened to so far. And and what he's saying so far is like, of course, what everybody else is saying, that this should happen like really soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enough's enough with the movie. Let's get on with the show.
I like that saying.
So true.
Yeah. It's like, I know that there's so many things that still have to be done. Like I just looking at my local the drug situation because of what my son-in-law is going through right now. I see when is that part of it going to go away? You know, it's like, you know, when are the top dogs going to be taken down that there's no drugs on the, you know, maybe that's not going to happen for several years. I don't know, but, you know, just like the banking system, they said it's going to take a while for everybody to catch on and so forth. So anyway.
Well, there was an interesting, you should say that, because there was an interesting thing put out by Mark Z last night. See if I can find it. It said something in the neighborhood, and I've seen this a couple of times now, for they're talking about Wednesday coming up, February 1st, as being our day.
Yep, that's what I've been hearing too. But, you know, people aren't supposed to give dates. And one of the things that kind of like, okay, are we talking Gregorian calendar or the Julian calendar?
I know, eh?
That's what makes you crazy.
Yep, but that's part of the military, right? So here's my theory, okay? And I might be wrong.
I think that was done on purpose. Yeah,
was done on purpose. Yeah, I got my own theory here. And that is, it's very simple. The military is in control of this thing. And military has its own special brand of disinformation, if you want to call it that. So, and of course, we know that if we look at past history, anybody who's ever said dates and times is usually off by about a week or two. It usually happens, but it never happens on the date that they say it's going to happen. And that would account for the Julian calendar over the Gregorian calendar, roughly. But so if you use that the whole time through, but on the very last instance, they give a date. So they always say, don't give dates and times. But if they make the very final one, the correct one, right? So that throws it all off again, right? It throws the conditioning off. So my prediction is that it will be actually this February 1st, not the Julian one. Or it could be the Julian one coming up in 2 weeks. So take your pick, either date.
And I'm not sure if it was the what I had been listening to before I jumped on here or someplace else, that the 1st of April we should even see going to the other calendar. That was thrown out, that like mm-hmm. out of the clear blue sky. So
yeah, the official edition of the calendar. Well, I guess, you know, when you think about it, they have to insert it somewhere officially, right?
Well, because December is 10. This is 11. We're at 11. Wait a minute. Is that right? Or is it, let's see, 10, 11, 13. 13 would be March. So 1 would be our first new year of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because this is 11, and then we're going February will be 12, March will be 13th month, and then the first, that would make sense. Well, oh, I like that, Beck.
So here's my other thought. See, they have to, we're right here in this, when you think about it, that calendar has to be inserted publicly. Right now it isn't. So we're really on still two different calendars, right? We're on our drama show calendar, which is using the Julian calendar. And then we have the real, or the existing Gregorian calendar, which is the general public is still using. So my question is, at what point do they insert that 13 days? So when they do that, let's say they do it officially February 1st coming, right? They have to insert it somewhere, right? So if they do that, they have to use a Gregorian time. whatever date they decide to insert it, they have to use a Gregorian time to put that in.
Mm-hmm. And someone else had said, and I don't remember who it was, said that we aren't even going to be going. Oh, Gandalf, I think his name is Gandalf. He's on, he was on Mike Penny's show, Truth Seekers, there a couple of times. He says, we aren't even going to go to that. We're going to go to an Ethiopian, some other calendar.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Keep us on our toes.
Yeah. Well, there could be some other calendar that we're not, you know, privy to that. Let's say the, you know what? Another way of looking at this is the people who are in control of the planet get to dictate the history and how it's going to be told. Think of it that way.
Right, right.
So right now the cabal has been the one that's in control of the planet, you know, since pretty much the beginning of time, and they've been able to dictate our history, which is full of lies or half truths. Right. So hopefully the white hats and the patriots, when they get into power and, you know, they finally get the planet cleaned up, hopefully they'll put in the proper history of our planet. The correct one. I guess we'll find out that a lot of that from the ETs as well.
Right.
But as I say, it is what it is, right?
Yes.
So let's sort of digressed a little bit there right off the beginning. I guess we're really supposed to be having a spiritual talk workshop. And I know sometimes when we get into that talk, it sort of flows back in between the two things, or even the third one, with tomorrow being the phase documents 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? So so it's okay. At any rate, that's the beauty of having sort of an open forum where you can drift between different subjects.
I just missed you, Gio. I just missed you.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Yeah, so anyway, so from a spiritual talk perspective, I've been sort of hammering away for, you know, the beginning of time since, you know, I guess WBG came in online, and I've been trying to hammer away this concept of the law of attraction into people's heads going into 5D, because it's really, 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 really important that people get it. From a manifestation perspective, right? Because when we get our bodies clean with the med beds, we're going to be a lot lighter. We're going to be in our 5D bodies. And when we're in 5D bodies, we're not going to have time. And you're going to be really vibrating really high. And because of that, we have to be able to manifest properly. So if when manifesting properly, we should be able to do this almost instantaneously, right? But we can't do that right now because we're partially in 3D, and we have our 3D bodies, which makes us really sluggish. And it's like we're constantly, let's say, walking through water, right? From an energetic perspective, right? But once we get rid of that 3D body, or at least all of the crap that's in it, it'll make things a lot faster and freer for us. I can only tell you, as an example, when I was younger, I used to go out of the body a lot. And I used to be in a body very similar to this, mirror image of the physical, right? One of the template bodies, energy bodies. And you're a lot lighter. It's like, you can still hear, you can still see, feel, and all that kind of stuff, but you're a lot lighter. It's like you can jump a lot higher. You can, you know, that kind of stuff, right? So don't think in terms of physical laws anymore, although there's still a few of them in a sense, but it's totally different. You're a lot lighter. And because you're a lot lighter, you can manifest a lot faster. That's about the best way I can put it. So in that law of attraction that I talked about, is also known scientifically as that law of cause and effect. It's an actual scientific law. And actually, there was a movie, I think we talked about this last week or the week before, about the movie called What the Bleep Do We Know? And that's an actual video. It's a movie, a documentary that was put out a couple of years ago. It's on YouTube for free. What the Bleep Do We Know? And it's a movie of spiritualism based on quantum physics. So quantum physics actually proves that spiritualism actually exists. So it's a very cool movie.
Okay.
Right.
I'm writing that down. Yeah. What the bleep
do we know?
Do we know?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I'll look for it right now. I'll get it for you, and I'll put the link in Zoom chat. Okay. I'll also put it in the help menu as well.
Okay.
There it is. Got it. There it is.
Okay.
And it's called there. What the Bleep Do You Know? Quantum World Physics Documentary. Yeah. So he's actually, so you just click on that that link and it'll take you right into YouTube to the movie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's an interesting movie. And there's other types of movies like that too. So another one would be similar, not quite the same, but I guess remember me talking about The Secret, right? Right. And Secret is actually not a bad movie. It's actually a good movie. But the first one by Esther and Jerry Hicks, that was the best one. But they had a lot of subsequent movies that were more there for making money purposes, if you know what I mean. So at any rate, when you act, and there's books made as well, and well, anyways, there's different variations of the whole thing. The movie The Secret is actually a, you know, like I said, it's a good basic movie, gives you the good understanding of it. But the problem that I find with it is very simple. It talks about the subject matter, and it dances around the law of attraction, but it never really explains how you actually do it, right? From an emotional perspective. And
seems like I had it many, many years ago on CD, and I might have watched it, but I don't remember what it was about or anything. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. So you get this great movie that talks about this subject matter that's really important, and it's been a secret since the beginning of time, but they don't tell you actually how to do it. So that's how I see it. So anyway, so that's what.
That's the secret.
That's right. So what we're learning in this workshop is the actual secret. How do we make this law of attraction actually work, right? And this is the important part from an emotional perspective, right? Because we are emotional beings. So, and I like to give this example. So let's say I'll use myself as an example. And you can put this example, you can probably put yourself in the same scenario. Instead of putting my name, we'll put your name, but it'll amount to the same thing. So let's say we're involved in a conversation, and it doesn't matter what the conversation is, but let's say you get pissed off emotionally, right? So you get ticked, right? And now if you just take that moment and feel emotionally what you're feeling, right? You get that feeling, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the energy that we're putting off to the universe, and the universe is impartial. In other words, it gives back what you give off. So if you give off negative, you get negative back. If you give off positive, you get positive back. Right? It doesn't matter. It's like it's sort of like a mirror, right? What you give off, you get back. So when you when you're being checked, pissed off or whatever you want to call it, that energy is going out to the universe. And at some point, it's going to come back. And when it does come back, it'll magnetize to you because it's your energy that was released. In other words, it has your energy, your emotional signature on it, because you, it was your vibration. So when it comes back, it'll magnetize only to you specifically because you released it. So as soon as it magnetizes to you, it starts developing a similar experience that you just had to get ticked off originally. So, right? So you keep on in that that mode of getting, you know, that's part of 3D, right? That's how 3D works, right? That's part of the drama show, right? It's, you know, keep going in circles, right? The longer you respond to it, you know, the longer it's going to keep, you're going to keep attracting it, right? The same thing happens over and over. Maybe the same thing, it might not be, it'd be similar, right? The moral of the story is you're going to get pissed off, right? So until you decide that you're not going to react to it the same way, it'll keep happening over and over and over and over again. And that's just the way this reality works. So, and I've said this many times, you can learn the rules of the game, or you can just play the game blindly, your choice. You know, this world, this realm, this reality is all about choice. You have free will. So, but the thing is, you know, right from the beginning of time when in school, we were never really taught the rules of the game. We're taught the rules of the 3D game, not the, you know, not the 5D rules. And how this reality actually works. So giving that, using that as an example, what you've done now is you've allowed that energy to come in and deform, and you have that same reaction, right? At some point. So now you have another option. You can choose to do nothing. So because you learn to recognize a situation, a drama situation, when it comes into play. So as soon as you recognize that, you choose to do nothing. You choose to not respond at all emotionally. And because you choose not to respond to it, what happens? That energy now does not go out to the universe, which means that energy does not come back and magnetize to you like it normally was. And therefore, you will not have that experience again. It's sort of like learning a lesson, if you want to call it that, right? We're all here to learn things, right? And this is what we're learning to do, or learning what not to do, right? It works both ways. So the other thing is, we can make that situation even better now with a little bit of work. So now we get exactly the same situation. Someone pissed you off, you're not reacting, but you want to make it better. So instead, what you do is you try to imagine, you try to visualize what that situation would have looked like if it had a, you know, in your best case scenario, what it would have looked like, or how would you want that situation to turn out instead in a positive way, right? Then you put some emotion, you put some feeling behind it. How do you, you know, like you try to feel that situation, like as if you were right there creating it, right? This is what we're going to be doing in 5D. This is part learning how to be, it's like almost, it's like becoming an actor in a movie, right? You know, like when you're watching a movie, sometimes we get emotional about what's happening in the movie, right? Same idea, except you're doing it for yourself.
Can I ask right now, because we're all waiting for this big hoorah, mm-hmm. and we keep getting, or at least I feel this way, gut punched, that I don't want to say it's making me angry, it's just making me sad that it's mm-hmm. keeping me at that 3D yeah. point.
Yeah. Okay. So let me explain that. I understand your question. So let me embellish on it a little bit. So what you have to remember, as far as the RV is concerned, although it what's the word I want to use? It involves us from an RV perspective, but it is actually a planetary-wide collective issue, not an individual issue, although it does affect the individual. Okay.
Right.
So here's the difference, though. And this is why when you listen to a lot of these spiritual gurus are always constantly telling you to keep your vibration high. Why? From a collective Earth perspective, they want the whole planet to move up in energy and vibration, right? But a lot of us, especially the people who are anchored in 3D, are separating and they're remaining in 3D, energetically speaking, right? So it's those people who are listening, who are taking the time to do the work, those people who are keeping their vibration really high, those are the people who are going to have an easier time going into 5D and learning how to manifest properly through that law of attraction that we're talking about from an emotional perspective. Go ahead.
Becky, do you remember me saying all the time to keep your vibration high?
Yes.
That we're all creating this?
Right.
That's why.
No.
And don't get caught up in the 3D. Don't get caught up in the dates. You remember we constantly say that.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Why. That's yeah. Why. Because you're doing this and this, this and this, this yeah. And the, and it's getting to you.
Right.
Emotionally and physically, it's going to get to you if you allow them to let you do this up and down, up and down, up and down. All of us. Okay. We're human. Right? Right. We're human. Yes, we're very magical beings, but we are human and we are a spiritual being having a human experience.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't forget that. I know you too, right? Steph, do you have a comment?
You know, I'm going through it.
I know you are.
No, I'm there. Yeah, I'm going through a lot of life events.
I was indirectly talking to you too.
Yes, and I think I'm doing okay.
You are.
I think what I wonder too is, and what I've been trying to really work on is living like I'm not. I mean, just living like it doesn't matter if I get it because I feel like what I have learned in this process is I bring to myself what you think, what out, you know? Yeah. So if I'm, you know, going after something with a great desire and need for it, then I'm that vibration's going to get matched, which is, and still a need, still a lack. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm focusing on not the need and not the lack of that thing, but actually every single day, the first thing I do is I have a bunch of sheets from this woman who wrote a book, Catherine Ponder. She wrote she used to do all these speeches, I think back during the time of Neville, I think. I don't remember how long ago, but it's an older lady. And so I listen to her recordings and I speak these things into my existence because I want to basically live like I already have it, you know, so that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to really work on because I am so used to this. That's what I think prayer does too, is we're constantly begging, please, can I have this, please? And so that's a vibration. It's a lack of something.
Yep. You realize that. Good.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm not
another guy to listen to is the one that Dr. What's that guy that you always talk about, George?
Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, I like him
Joe Dispenza.
I like
really
him too.
Listen to him too. He's really he knows his stuff, man. It's good.
Yes, I love listening to him too.
Whatever you're putting out. So if you're having like a particularly bad week, do you ever notice it isn't just one day? It ends up being multiple days.
Well, because we script ahead.
Well, you've put it out there. You know, my landlord's on my case and now my boss is on my case. And I can't get an appointment and I can't this and I can't that, right?
Yeah.
So you know, that's what you're putting out there.
Make a plan. So I'm making a plan.
Right.
And the day before, you know, if I had a crappy day because I couldn't control something, I try to script the next day by canceling out the things I've, you know, had in my situation that I couldn't control. And I say to, you know, whatever random statement I have to say, this may have affected me today. It does not need to affect me tomorrow. And so I will have this tomorrow. I will have that tomorrow. So I don't say I want it. I say, I will, it will be, you know, it so it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It will
change
be.
Your words, right?
Yes. Yes.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, right? Yes. Getting the exact same result. So to change our environment, right? We have to change our script.
Yes.
Right. Because true. We have scripts.
Yeah.
Yep.
but, okay. So here's the, but, okay. What you're talking about, Luna, is correct, but we are emotional beings. So in other words,
yes, we are.
For those of us who think that we want to change something just by thinking, ain't going to work.
No. Energy, and our words.
Hold on. Energy follows thought. Right.
Yes.
So, right. So it's your thoughts which are creating where you want to go. It's the emotional energy that is the driving force that creates the form for the energy. You understand? So it's your emotional energy. It's how you're feeling about the situation.
Yes.
Okay?
That's what Neville says. The feeling is the key.
Yeah.
Yes.
And absolutely. That's what they didn't tell you in The Secret.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And they made gobs of money. Mm-hmm. Right. Which, you know what, at least give the people the right stuff. Like, don't just leave it out. Right. Because it took 10 more years for people to realize that on their journey. Right.
Can you imagine learning this stuff when you're right from, you know, day one, when you're, let's say, like right from beginning
small
of time
kid.
As a
small I'm teaching my youngest. That's what I've been teaching her as I've learned, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I actually remember being taught from one of the elders on the reservation, how to properly pray. And so he took me out and they were doing a rain dance.
Yeah.
And so we went out and they, how they do it is they, you know, they go out there and they live it as if it's already happened, you know? And so they smell it. They get the smell of the rain and how it feels and how everything looks after it rains. And so we discussed it. And so we got that in our minds, you know, and it was fascinating. I thought it was magical.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, that's part of manifestation. It's how you feel. It's getting that emotional energy working for you instead of against you. It's making that proper choice, right?
That's also why you have to be careful what you say. Right.
Right. And Luna, you pulled me out. You pulled me out of some funks this week. So I appreciate you. Thank you for that. Because I did like almost get stuck, you know? And so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But just
catching yourself.
Yeah. Thing is, we have to remember that we're in a game.
Yeah.
We're in a game.
And it's not our game.
This is a game of life, right? It's a 3D game of life. And, you know, like I said earlier, when we just came on, you can learn the rules of the game or you can choose not to. It's your choice, but it's still a choice. Right. So a lot of us, you know, go through life, and it took me a long time, most of my life, to figure out these rules of the game. But now that I know the rules of the game, this is when the magic starts, literally, you know, so because you're light enough that you can start doing things magically because your body is light. You don't have the crap that's what you're holding on to anymore. So in other words, you get to prove these things to yourself, right?
And I did after I worked with, I just messaged her a few times and I pulled myself back in and I started going back to what I'm doing, what's working. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I started getting messages from people in my groups, you know, well, hey, you know, how are you doing? You know, I remember you mentioning this, can I help with something?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa. And I was like, okay, you know?
Yep.
And so, I just got help like coming out of nowhere. It was like,
that's
coming
right.
all over the place. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice though? Right.
Yes.
You should put it out there, right?
Yeah. That's the beauty of this group. Everybody helping everybody, right? Everyone's, tries to,
everybody,
you know, and the thing is, let's say at the end of the day, whatever I say tonight, let's say you just don't get it. Well, that's fine. But if someone else who says the same thing to you might say it a slightly different way, hey, great. I don't care as long as you get it. That's all, you know, at the end of the day, yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Because your life will actually change. You will see it change. Even in the time that you've been with us, you've seen your life change. Have mm-hmm. you not? Becky?
Yes.
Yes. Even if it's only just how you feel,
right.
That's okay. That's a start. It's a big start, especially in what we're talking about right now, right? If you can control your emotions, right, you can create things quicker.
Yeah.
Instead of pushing stuff away.
Yeah, I've been on a little bit of a roller coaster, but like you said, I need to back away, which you know, I did yesterday because I was gone from like noon to 9 o'clock today. At night. So for I knew I wasn't on my computer looking at Telegram. Oh, where's the next thing gonna fall? You're like, oh my God. You know, it's like that. I'm just like, I gotta
like a program, right, Becky?
Yes.
It is. It's like a program. It's an addiction.
It's like, what are you doing, girl?
What you're talking about here, Becky, is your emotional body memory.
Yeah.
Okay. It's your body memory, which keeps reminding you of past events that you felt comfortable with, even though it wasn't good. Your body doesn't know that, right? It still remembers it, whether it be negative or positive, right? So what you have to do is teach your body to drop all that negative memory and allow only in the positive memory. I mean, Luna, I mean, you look at her, since when I originally got her, you know, a few years ago, she was, you know, like using a cane and the whole bit. And now she's up and around and, you know, almost doing backflips. So
I couldn't even stand up long enough. I couldn't stand up long enough to boil water.
Yeah.
And we all know how long water takes to boil, right?
Right.
Yeah.
On the stove.
Yeah.
Less than 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. So and we worked on her.
Even do that.
Yeah. We worked on her body memory for a long time. And now we're seeing
sometimes three times a day you can do it.
Yeah.
But three times a day, almost a whole week.
Well, let me ask you this. So in the past year, 12-month time frame, haven't we had two different, I don't know what you call them, polar shifts in our alignment of our planet or something that has done something positive for all of our beings?
Yeah, well,
it isn't a polar shift. It isn't a polar shift. It's
I don't know the word, the term for it, but
portal.
Portals. They're
positive thing for us.
Yeah, it's opening portals to bring in good energy.
Good energy. There you go. Okay.
So
we've had the big one, the biggest one of the biggest ones at Christmas time. So
Lionsgate was it? One.
And Lionsgate, those are the two that are just huge, right? And that energy from Lionsgate carried through till after Christmas. Like it was part, it got in sort of like in with the 21st of December, right? With that portal. Every month when the new moon is happening, so after your full moon, that's when yours the highest manifestation time, and you usually can feel a full moon coming on 3 days before, and its energy will last at least 3 days, but those particular ones they last longer. Okay. And it's alignment with the stars and the planets, and it that also affects all this. And this year we've had incredible amount of alignments with planets that haven't been in our solar system like for thousands of years, right? In that alignment.
Right.
I think one of them was, when Jesus was born, right? That we had one of those. So that's a very, very positive thing that's happening. I mean, the stars and they're everything is aligning perfectly for us. We are being supported on all levels. Physical and spiritual, and And a lot of it is up to us. It's undoing our programming, right? It's especially undoing our programming, retraining your mind, okay? And catching yourself like you did, Becky, you know, where you even though you didn't consciously realize it, your body was telling you, and listen to your body, because it is so, it's magical. Our bodies are magical. Our feelings are will definitely let you know before stuff happens to you to get you in a worse emotional state before it actually happens. If you can read it, okay? A lot of people can't, but if you can connect with yourself, you know, catch your mind, your thoughts, your feeling, how you wake up, what's your mood like, you know, and then change it.
Right.
If you don't feel that great when you get up in the morning, do something that makes you feel great. Right. If it's singing, sing. If it's dancing, dance. Doesn't matter. Nobody's looking at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Or just watch a movie to take
that
your mind
lifts
off
you up. No, yeah. That lifts you up. Right. Yeah. I watch I like those, what do they call them? Like the Hallmark kind of movies, you know, to lift me up. So I'm very, very discerning as to what kind of stuff I put in my brain. Okay.
Right.
Because what you're watching, it's retaining.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Very important.
Yeah. You gotta be able to, once you get to that point where you're not responding to all this negativity, in other words, you got a shield around you and nothing can penetrate that shield negatively. Right. Once you get to that point, then it's automatic. But until you get there, you have to work at it.
It's a foundation. It's a strong foundation. Like Gio doesn't let anybody make him go even remotely in the, 5 years that we've been together living in the same house. Okay. I've never, ever seen anybody take him off his center, you know, and I've seen me, because I'm so emotional. I'm Italian, right? So, you know, but I understand what he was trying to teach me. And even he has seen a shift in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And now nobody can knock me off, because I now have control of my feelings and I don't let anybody take me to that place. You know why? Because that's a game that they are creating to bring me in, and I'm not having it. Because it doesn't make me feel good. Yeah. Right. I don't feel good when I'm spewing out all those emotions. I'm not feeling well while I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm getting my point across, but I don't feel good. And so I don't want to do anything that's going to not make me feel good, or that's going to take me off my center even a little bit. So we are in charge of that. Yeah. They're not.
Put a different way that you can understand it. A different perspective is, do you have control of your ego, or does your ego have control of you?
Well, your choice. And that's what I always say. Yeah. People say, oh, you don't have an ego. Yeah, I do. But it doesn't control me. Right. And neither should anybody else.
That's it.
Yes, it's a part of us, but we keep it in check. Right.
Yeah. We,
right. Because we're the boss.
It's
the boss. It is a tool, and we are the boss. So always tell yourself that. You know how I start my days off? In the bathroom after I brush my teeth, I go like this to remind me that I'm number one. Yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Always. We as givers, we tend to give everything away. Everything, to the point where absolute exhaustion at the end of the day, and you feel like you've actually accomplished something, and what you've actually done is depleted yourself, and then you pay the price for that.
Yes.
Right? Always. Right? So we have to learn to say no. You have to be discerning, right? You could say yes, but not at your expense. So if you're not feeling well for whatever reason, or you've got other stuff going on, it's okay to say no to somebody.
Well, that's what I'm learning big time. Like I'm saying no to everything. I don't even want to participate. Yeah. choosing not to participate.
And that's being true to you, Steph. That's being true to you, you know?
The divorce thing too, like they keep on bugging me, and I've been trying to stall it because I need to get an attorney if I'm going to have to do it this way. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'll have money soon to do that.
Yeah.
So they can wait. Yeah. Yes. They can wait until I have that.
That's
just remember that
because it doesn't make me feel good, Luna. It makes me feel horrible. I dread it thick inside. So until I have that, and I'll feel strong, but with that,
I'll feel better.
Just just remember, there's two kinds of people in this world, right?
Yeah, service, givers and takers.
Yeah, service to self, service to others, right?
Others. So we don't forget it.
Right? So we are service to others. Okay, not the service itself. So it's the service of others, sorry, the service to self people whose job it is to steal our energy, so to speak, but they don't really do that, right?
Well, yeah, they need it. They can't operate. They don't have a connection to God.
It makes their ego feel good. It makes their ego feel good. All you're doing is feeding their ego.
Correct.
It's an endless energy feed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like vampires, right?
Yeah, they're not
they
sated.
Suck all the good energy out of you.
Yes.
Right?
Actually, speaking of which, okay, they're actually not energy vampires. So that there's a thing called an energy vampire. They're not that. So
I know that.
Let me explain that. So from an energetic perspective, you get a person who is let's say you're vibrating here, okay? And the person you're talking to is vibrating here. So what happens is they pull your vibration down, right? So you're feeling depleted. So, but it's not, they're not stealing your energy. They're bringing your vibration down. You're not used to operating in that denseness of energy. You understand? So they're pulling your energy down. They're not really stealing your energy.
But there are those energy vampires.
Yeah.
Right. There are people that like to be around you just for the sake of your energy. They don't know that it's that. It's not a conscious thing, right?
It's
they
okay.
don't know.
Okay. So put it different. This is why they do it. Okay. So they know you're up here. So they know that your vibration is higher. So they want to.
It feels good.
Right. So what they do is you pull their energy up.
Yeah.
That's what's happening, right?
But at your cost.
That's right.
Yes.
At your cost.
Yes. Until you can shield yourself on a automatic basis where it doesn't affect you anymore, conscious automatic basis.
Remember I told you about the white shield?
Yeah.
The white light? When you step,
use the white light.
When you put your toe down on the ground in the morning, that's when you put that shield around you, especially if you're going out. Right?
I do it all.
It does make a difference. Yep. Yep. You know, I didn't do that for how I learned this lesson over 40 years ago was I was working with a woman who was any terrible thing that you can think of that happened to her. Happened to this woman. She's from Hungary. She was from Hungary. She'd been raped multiple times. She just everything and anything, including her mother and her father abusing her physically and emotionally. I mean, just the absolute worst. Okay. So here's me when I'm a fixer, right? And I know how to fix people. So I go in there blazing, right? I spent 3 months with her almost every day, you know, a few hours a day. And I ended up in bed for 2 months. That's how much she sucked my energy, right? Of course, I made her feel good, right? And she was happy. Oh, she would bake stuff for me and, you know, like fresh pastries, you know, Hungarian pastries and all this. Like she was a wonderful, wonderful woman. But I realized and I learned the greatest lesson. And I thank God every day for that lesson because there hasn't been a day that I don't do that white light from now on, no matter what. And
I had a man do that to me for 3 decades. Three decades.
Yes.
I was what made him feel good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I didn't realize it until he left how bad it was.
And how much better you feel. Eh?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, you don't realize it when you're in the thick of it. You only realize it when you're a third party looking in.
Well, no, and because you love them, right? You know,
that too.
It's your partner or whatever,
bed.
Right?
I was in bed all my life.
Yeah.
All my life I was in bed.
Isn't that crazy, eh?
Yeah.
That, so you know, you
I was
got
so
it.
Sick.
Yeah, you got it slowly, right? Over a number of
chronic,
years where I got it
illness,
3 months.
Yep.
And 2 months in bed, like laid out. I was done, okay? My kids were scared I wasn't going to get out of bed. Eh? And I never saw it coming, but it taught me the greatest lesson. And like I said, she was also clinically depressed and also on medication. So like she was really, really a terror, like a horrible case.
Really low vibration.
Very, very low vibration, right? Ginny.
Yeah, can you explain the white light? I don't think I've ever heard anything about that.
So when I meditate or pray or, you know, usually meditation, right? And I do a closed eye meditation. I bring in the white light. Okay. And I mean, some people do it from their feet. I do it from up there, the crown.
Me too.
I bring it in because it's coming from heaven, right?
Yeah.
It's connected to the, what do you call it? The cosmos or whatever.
And you can see it when you close your eyes.
I can feel it. Okay. You can see it. I feel it moving through my body. That's what I do. I let it go through my crown. So I envision, Ginny, a column of light. Okay.
Okay.
Just light, and bring it through your head. Right. And then it will move very slowly. Okay. At first, when you first do it, and usually it'll get stuck here. You'll probably fall asleep by this point. So it's a really good, it's a really good tool to use if you have trouble going to sleep.
Okay.
So this is something that you can do. Okay. Well, when I first started, I would go to sleep here, just the bridge of my nose, that was out. And I don't sleep very well. So it was magic for me, right?
Oh, wow.
And of course, then I made it like a game. How much further I could go before falling asleep again, till I got to the point where I could actually let it go all the way through my torso, down both my legs, shoot it out and send it down through the floors, okay, into Mother Earth, right? Because I'm in bed, right? I'm lying down. So I visualize all of it. And but in the morning, before I put my feet, just as I sit up, I think about the white light. It's a shield. Okay. I call it Archangel Michael's shield, right? Of protection. And I just envision it like I'm in a cocoon and the white light is surrounding me.
Okay. All right. I got it.
I even get up and spin around in it.
There's another.
And you spin in it. That's good.
I have another one that what I'll do is I'll send it to you directly on a direct message. Okay. In Telegram to all of you.
Okay.
And it's one done through one of my books. I have a Kabbalah book, and it's actually what it does is it takes the Lord's Prayer, but it uses, you know, that the cross.
Uh-huh. Right?
Okay. So what it does is it allows you through a spiritual metaphysical spiritual concept. It brings a center pillar energy down through your center. And it grounds you, makes you like you see your center pillar really strong. And then the cross part makes you strong going out 360.
Okay.
Right. So it's a different perspective. But it's when you do this exercise, at one time I used to do it daily, you know, multiple times a day. Now I might do it maybe once every 6 months. And it's just
because you won't have to do it after a while. Is that why?
That's right, because it's part of your body memory.
Okay. Well, I like that idea.
Yeah, it's just the thing is when you for any body memory change that you want to do, if you do a particular repetition, I believe it takes something like 21 days to change an emotional habit. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll give that a shot. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It works. It really works.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay. Another thing, children, when my kids were little, I would always surround them with that white light when I kiss them. Just as I kiss them, I'm envisioning that white light around them. And I started doing that because my youngest daughter, was having a lot of nightmares. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that's going to work now. And it worked.
Oh, wow.
Her nightmares.
That's good
stopped.
To know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
a baby.
Yeah. So you're, right? What you're doing is you're putting a white light around them and it raises their vibration. So yeah. it pushes those bad dreams out because can't hold the vibration.
They can't come in. They won't come in. Right. They can't come in, right? And remember that children and even us, but children in particular, because they're so new, right? They're a magnet for negative energies, right? Because they're so open and pure. Right.
And they've never been taught how to not attract them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about as a baby.
That's what I'm talking about too. Yeah, no one's been taught as a child, right? Unless you have, let's say, metaphysical parents, and they're actively training their children in that regard. Most kids are not taught that way, and so as a result, we have body memory, which is a lot of it's really negative, right?
Yeah. Well, I talked about my youngest daughter having these nightmares. I don't know if you guys remember. She was very vivid. She was three or two and a half, but she was very verbal, right? Like a real smart. She's a teacher, school teacher now. And she used to describe exactly who it was that was coming in and scaring her in her dream. And it was always a man with the black hat.
Yes.
Remember me telling you?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That is an actual malevolent spirit that in every place in the world.
Shadow people.
Talk about them. Shadow people. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is the guy that lit the ring of fire in my bedroom when I was three.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
And that was, you know what that was? That was satanic what they were trying to do. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My parents, this is what I'm saying, beat my butt for it.
We have to teach the children. We have to teach our children how to protect themselves, right? And going forward, I mean, they're going to do it naturally.
Yes.
I think because the vibration is going to be different.
And look at all the people now. I mean, all the parents that are coming now. We're learning.
And children are more awake than some of the parents.
Yes.
Right, they're actually teaching the parents.
Yeah, you know what this is going to look like at some point. It's going to be like WBGs that are going to turn into be some kind of like a one school. Of those Harry Potter school type thing.
Yes. Hogwarts, yeah.
Luna, as you were describing the white light, mm-hmm. something just kind of like took over. My feeling of serenity has just really
gone up,
helped by your explanation just in that.
Yeah.
It's helped me. I feel a lot relaxed just knowing that I should try that. Mm-hmm. And I have to share that Thursday, I went back to my Tai Chi class.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped in August because when I went to the senior center, they wanted me to wear a mask and I got so angry. Yeah. I walked out and I refused to go back to that damn building. Mm-hmm. So I thought, Beck, you need to get over yourself. Hopefully they won't be making you wear a mask. Get over because you love doing Tai Chi. And I went back and I had so much fun doing that. And I'm hoping to go tomorrow at 2:00 as another class. Right. So every Monday and Thursday, I'm hoping to get back into that because I enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
And it raises your vibration.
Right. Yes. And it's going to get me away from the damn computer.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to be able to keep that imaginary wall up so it doesn't affect you.
Right.
That's the part where you have that choice of responding to it or not.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible how much we haven't been taught by our parents.
Well,
that's because they never knew either.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They didn't know. They can only give you what they know. Ginny? Right.
I found myself over the course of these last 5 years with all this stuff going on, withdrawing, retreating back to my house. Yeah. Because it's my safe zone, my safe space.
It is.
Yeah. Yes. And just to get out of that rat race, these arrogant, ignorant people.
I know.
You know, and all the stuff that we see on TV is
welcome to 3D.
Perpetuating it, right? It's reinforcing it. It's making it look like it's actually normal behavior, and it's not. Yeah. You know, people are rude and ignorant, and I've seen
trying to normalize too much right now.
Unbelievable.
And not only that, but I had a job that was sucking all the energy out of me too.
You know why? Because for the past 15 or so years, it's been an employer's market.
Right.
Yes. Where it used to be, I remember when it was an employee market, where you could just have a job before you actually quit your job.
They were
fighting over you and giving you, you know, great offer letters and stuff like that.
Perks and benefits.
That's like more than 25 years ago that was happening, right?
Right.
Because of that,
I just was on the job market recently, and I was competing with thousands of other people.
I know, it's crazy.
Just a number. That's all you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's intended to make you feel powerless. Okay.
Right.
Remember, you're feeding the louche while you're looking for a job and getting depressed and feeling like you're going to lose your home and where are you and your kids going to live? And, you know, it's just that. And like the other day, what was it? I said to Gio, I realized that every institution that I've had to deal with, cable companies, phone companies, you know, government, all of them, give you a hard time. Do you ever notice when you call the government, four people before, if you're even lucky and don't get cut off, usually they cut you off, especially if they don't like what you're saying.
You're not asking the right questions. The cable companies.
That's why I haven't had cable for 8 years, because I got sick and tired of you know, talking and nobody's listening to the customer anymore. And when that happens, you know that you have no power. Right. So what I did was the only thing that I could do, which was stop paying for it, because I wasn't getting the service that I should have got. Right. So that was my way. You know, I know a lot of people didn't do that, but it doesn't matter to me. What mattered is it made my life better.
Yeah.
Right. I emotionally was better. Just like I was saying earlier, where Gio's noticed that I don't let anybody take me off my center now.
And not only that, it was easier on your pocketbook easier on your brain.
Oh, yeah. There were more pluses for me than there was for them.
Right.
So, but I'm only one of like 100,000. I'm just saying, I don't know, but, you know, whatever that number is.
A lot of people have given up cable TV.
I got rid of cable 5 years ago.
I'm one of them many years ago.
Yeah. Eight years ago for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eight, maybe nine.
No more for me.
Yeah, because we have more choices now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then your home phone, they solicitations.
Let that go 15 years ago. So
yeah. Well, they have all those solicitations and those, you know.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're not playing the game. That's basically what you're doing, is withdrawing from the matrix slowly, right?
Yep.
For me, I pulled myself out of the matrix when I stopped working at like a full-time job when I was 39 years old. And that's when I just, because I got fired for the second time, or let go, sorry, not fired. In this particular case, I was actually let go after 3 months in a bank. I was working at a bank, and I just decided, you know what? God obviously wants me to concentrate on my spiritual work and my spiritual self. And so that's what I did. So that was 28 years ago. So I've been doing it full time, 28 years, doing readings and, you know, still helping people, but, and having a part-time job, which allowed me, you know, to do that. How I managed to support three children, four, but my son was out of the house by that point. Right. It's a miracle, but it's because it was my path. Right.
Yeah. So basically what you have is Luna and I, so in terms of removing ourselves from the matrix, Luna would be like Trinity and I would be like Neo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye, Matrix.
You know what? Like, you know that peace, Becky, that you just felt? I felt that as soon as I made that decision. I knew it was the right decision. And I knew that's why two times they let me go in 3 months. Right. It was really like, did you get it? Because I was a single mom, right? I was a single mom with my four kids, right? But my son was like almost out of the house, right? So I say three, my three girls and I felt like I had a responsibility to them, right? That I, you know, and that I should uphold, you know, a full-time job. But I honestly didn't want it. I was so hard to get up in the morning to be working for people who had no souls, who didn't right. give a crap about you right. in any way, shape, or form. Did they care about yep. me or my children? Right. Because that pink slip came like nobody's business, right? Boom, there you go. Bye, see you later, right?
That's because you were affecting their bottom line and their bonus. Oh my
God, was I ever. Now, what do you mean? They never shared their bonuses.
Precisely, yeah. I know, that's my point.
No, it's just, I just realized, I know that God realized it, that I had a lot on my plate. And it was really hard to be able to do my spiritual work because it just wasn't physically, I didn't have the energy, you know, for all of that. And looking after, it's really hard when you're a single mom, you know, how I managed to live on, you know, less than $10 an hour because it was $15 an hour, 10 years ago or something, but I didn't have that pleasure. And I was sole supporter in my family and I had a mortgage, right? So, you know, there's a God because I didn't lose that house, but I did lose my other one. It was just too hard. You know,
that's a Kraft dinner days, eh?
I have no problem with pasta. So it's not a problem for me. I can whip it up and make it look not like it's mac and cheese, right? Like it'll be ultra elegant, you know?
So, you get creative.
I'm very crafty. Ask him. I'm really, I can turn leftovers and make it look like it was just done.
You know? So, she's like an Italian chef.
I am.
Very good.
Yeah. So I do everything now.
Aren't you the lucky one, Gio?
I am. Yes. I am.
And he says it all the time. I'll never forget that first year that you were here, Gio. And he was just my roommate then. And I remember he was eating, I don't even remember what the dish was. It was some Italian dish that I made. He was eating the pasta and he just looked up to the sky and he goes, "I don't know what I did to deserve being here," he says, "but I'm so grateful." It was just, I'll never forget it. Never.
Well, you know what? I have another theory. That is, I never complain about something that I can't do better myself. So if someone's making a better meal, why would I complain?
Right.
And I'm always like my previous two husbands, I would always say, well, what do you feel like today? You know, like I kind of felt like, because for me, that's how I decide what I'm going to cook. Uh-huh. For me, it's like, what do I feel like today? And I actually do that at nighttime. And then sometimes in the morning, then I totally change my mind and, you know, and I change the menu and that's okay. But when I worked, I used to do it at nighttime. So I'd have an idea of what I needed, make sure everything was there when I got home, you know, because you got kids to feed and stuff and, you know, or I'd put on a crock pot or, you know, whatever. But I used to always ask people, you know, and I started asking Gio and he'd look at me and he'd say, "What do you feel like?" He says, "It's more important for you." He says, "Me? I don't care. Just put it in front of me." And I've never had anybody like that. He doesn't complain. He doesn't. He really, truly doesn't. He's so grateful to have that meal done, you know, cooked for him. Right. And he just eats it and loves it and praises me and tells me what a great cook I am. And off we go, you know, to the next day.
That's wonderful.
And every once in a while I'll slip.
You're such
a
romantic.
Yeah, he is pretty cool.
Well, you made that sound a little better than I should have got, but thank you anyways.
Now, are you two in the same building? Or are you in different places right now?
No. We live together.
Yeah, we live together. Yeah.
You have two different offices, though, huh?
Two different rooms. Yeah.
He's in the kitchen, and I'm in my office, which is our TV room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. I have to have an enclosed space for me to work. That's just the creative part of me has to, I have to be able to block everything out and feel like I'm alone.
So the same way. Yeah, I'm in my sewing room right now.
Yeah. Yep. I can think better,
just allow those creative juices to flow.
And because I'm easily distracted, I have ADHD, right? So you put me in the kitchen, well, I start thinking about food and, I'll get up 20 times. Now I don't get up 20 times to go put the kettle on, right? I end up doing a little bit more work. Yeah, exactly. So, you learn over many years, you learn what works. I never even knew I was ADHD. You know how I found out? Wow. So my daughter, who was in, she just started college, her university, her second year. So she'd be about almost 20 years old. And this is my baby, right? I was 35 when I had her, right? So she's now 19. So I'm almost 55 years old, let's say. And we're sitting there and she's getting tested for ADHD. And there's this sign right in front of us on the wall in front. And it's got five characteristics of an ADHD person. And she's reading it, right? And she goes like this to me, "Mom," she says, "that's you."
Oh my God, the story is just like mine.
Just like that. Oh my God. I read it and I went, oh my God. And she put like puzzle pieces together for me as why I realized why I couldn't finish. I'm great at starting things, okay, until I get bored with it. And then I go on to the next. So I have 20 projects. I know where I stopped in each one of them and I can go back at any time, but I need the variety, right? And my issue was learning how to finish things. Okay.
Yes. So,
So like a child, you start with really small things, right? That you can actually finish. So now my granddaughter, she knows she's almost 10 and she knows that I can't finish. When we do a paintings together, she goes, "Nonna, you finished." She says, "I'm so proud of you."
Oh my gosh. Funny. So funny.
Kills me. She just can't. And it's natural for her. She's not, she doesn't even really know that I'm ADHD. She just, and I know it's God talking through her, right? To go, see how much you've changed? Because I have. I can actually finish a task now.
Has Gio helped with that, do you think? I mean, I also got diagnosed the same way. My son was being diagnosed and I had the same thing happen to me.
did they interview you?
Because and I actually did get diagnosed. I went through the whole thing. So
yeah, but did they interview you for your child? Because that's why I needed to be there.
Yes.
Because apparently it comes from the mom.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Right. I didn't know it, but
my daughter taught me that because she's like, my son. Psychiatrist told me that it comes from you, and I was like, well, great. Yeah. Well, we already know I have it, so
Oh my gosh, it was really crazy. Yeah.
That's so funny. Are you what sign are you,
Luna? Libra.
Okay. Wow.
Scales I thought it of was justice. Just me. Look out.
I thought it was just me because I'm an Aries, and Aries
that's
are,
what my daughter starters. Is Aries.
They're good starters, but not finishers.
Yeah, well, she was
the same way with projects.
It was concentration for her at school. And that's what it was. And she didn't want to be put on any medication or anything. Right. But once she got diagnosed, I helped her with the vitamins and, different things to support her brain. Right. And she's a school teacher, she's primary, and she's a French immersion school teacher. So, and she majored in languages. So she minored in Italian, she did French and Spanish.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, she's got three languages. And so does my son. He's got three languages. And my grandchildren, they also have three. And I have three grandchildren. So all three of them have three languages.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, what a gift.
Yeah, we are blessed. And I can understand seven languages and I'm fluent in almost three. But I can't write. I can speak probably five. I can understand. I just can't say the small words like the if, the and, the buts and that, but I understand all the big words that they, you know, the other words like friend and, you know, partner, or it's just the I don't know what you call them, the pronouns or whatever.
The adjectives. Yeah. I have adjectives. Trouble with.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what.
In junction, other... junction. What's your function?
It just means that part of your brain, because some people say, I can't teach myself any languages. It's because that part of your brain is not turned on. I had a professor tell me that part of my brain is turned on, and I went, that's great. But somehow or another, they forgot to turn on the math, because I cannot do math. Once we got in high school, and what was it? Algebra. As soon as they started, even fractions were a little... I can do long division, but beyond that, I can't do anything else.
It's hard when you're a homeschool teacher too. It's I have been struggling to teach Bella, and she's like, Mom, I just can't do math. And I'm like, I'm not good at it either, honey. I'm trying to teach you. I can't do it. Yeah. Like they teach it backwards and they make it really hard. And it's, you know, she's like, when you showed me, Mom, how to do that, it was so much simpler. And I was like, I know, it used to be simple when I was younger, but now that they give this complicated stuff to them.
Is that the Common Core? Are they still teaching that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And that's even when you're homeschooling, you have to use the curriculum you can use your own stuff, obviously, but I try to get some online resources together and pull them all together, but they still use that basic underscored, you know, Common Core crap. So,
well, you know, that's what my daughter is doing, you know, Steph. She has an online business for teachers and parents who are homeschooling their kids on tips and stuff like that. And that's what she's been creating for the last 2 years. Well, since COVID, right? Oh. She's been creating that. So it makes it easier for parents who are homeschooling their kids.
We need that. Yeah, I'm just hoping they'll just drop the whole school thing altogether. My daughter reads it at 12th grade level. So
yeah, she's fine. How old is 13, she?
Almost 13. She'll be 13 in March.
She's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just the math she struggles with. So
Hard
all day.
I wouldn't call that math.
I know. I don't know what that's for, but what a waste of time, eh? And make people feel so terrible in school, let me tell you, right? Because, you know, if that part of my brain wasn't turned on, why didn't the school know that, right?
Right.
Instead of trying to, you know, and I flunk a grade too.
And they make them feel really bad. She feels really bad about herself.
They stream you.
But it's also because she's creative. Your daughter's creative.
That's right.
Yeah, right. And that's what I find. The creative ones.
They don't want that. They don't want creativity.
We don't want the structure, right? We don't like the I don't like being in a box. Okay.
Right.
I like the freedom.
Right. Me too. Me too.
Well, then that's why they wanted to take out music. They wanted to take away sports.
And they did. And they did, right? Yeah. Cooking. Right. We used to get
cooking. And they had the lowest budgets for that too. Yeah. Those departments.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Right.
That's the first place they pull funding.
Because you actually might have fun doing those things. Right. God forbid. Instead, they wanted kids more well behaved, right? In a controlled environment where they can control them better.
Yeah. Actually, in a prison cell. Yeah.
In a prison cell.
Do you remember the movie that school movie I posted a while ago? It talks about.
Did you guys read? Did you watch that video?
The origins of education.
It will blow your mind.
I need to watch that.
Yeah,
I will watch that.
Honestly,
I'll watch it with my daughter.
Yeah, I'll put
it. It will blow your minds.
I'll put a lot.
What's it called?
Origins of Education.
Origins of Education, and it will blow your mind. Seriously.
Yeah, I'll put it in main chat.
And it's all schools all over the world are based on this.
Right.
And it'll freak you out where it came from.
Well, aren't we supposed to have our education revamped because we've been given all this crap, you know, I forget when it changed, 1963 or...
It's there now.
But, yeah. You know, Becky, that's what I'm doing. And people like myself are here to bring us back into the time. And it's the creative soul that we're going to be nurturing, right? In school, right? Connecting them with nature, right? It's called Rosetta's Earth School, named after my little sister who passed away from cancer at the age of 5. So she never got to go to school.
It's called learning to work from your heart instead of your head and ego.
And connect to nature and the animals and all that.
Becky?
Yes.
All those old systems, they're saying they're going to come down. They all have to be revamped.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Because just like Luna said, who uses algebra? Where right. do you use it?
Really?
It was crazy. I couldn't get it. I failed algebra. I had to go to summer school because of algebra.
Like, you know what I got out of algebra? 45 degree angle and a 90.
That's geometry.
Whatever. Okay. See?
I was doing geometry.
It's useless for my brain. Yes. Okay. Right. Absolutely useless. And I wanted to take music. Do you know, I was 27 years old when I taught myself music. I can't read it. I taught myself piano at 27. I was pregnant with my daughter, who's now 41. Oh. And I was 6 months
play
pregnant.
By ear. Yep.
I had 3 months. I did it. My husband marked my keys. Right. So I can't read music, but I had a book and I would follow the book, and I don't know how I did it. I swear somebody took my hands and did it. Okay. I always believed because I couldn't believe that I was doing it.
Matrix movie. You got it downloaded.
No, what happened is then I was working at the university. I won a big university in here in Ontario, called McMaster University. And there was a theological school, and the teacher that was teaching there used to do private for some of the professors. She would be the piano teacher for them. So I was recommended. She usually did kids, not adults, but because I worked at the university and one of the professors gave a good reference, right? She took me on, and I had to audition for her. And she happened to have the exact same book that I had studied for 3 months. So she said to me, play anything in that book. And I sat down and I played two pieces for her. And she looked at me and she said, wow, she said, your right hand. She says, your left hand, she said, is amazing. And I said to her, is there something wrong with my right hand? And she says, no. She said, the great masters, she said, practice for hours for how your hand moves. It moved like I had been practicing my whole life. She says, I know, she said, that you've had music trapped inside of you all of your life. And you know what? She was right. Because my parents, I grew up poor, right? So there's no way I could have asked my parents for any kind of lessons, right? And 27 years old with marked keys, I ended up auditioning for her. I was so good, she wanted to put me in the recital. And I thought, no, my professors that I worked for would have had to
learn a different, the sheet music, right?
Well, right. But no. She probably would have let me do whatever I felt comfortable doing. But I just, I wasn't doing it for that. I was doing this as one of my bucket list, you know, because, when am I going to do that? And I did have a piano at the time. I had a piano, but then I moved up in the Arctic and I ended up having to sell my piano before I went up there, and I never got another one. And that's one of the regrets that I have, but I'm going to get that back again. You know, actually, all of us are going to get to learn whatever it is we want. And we're going to have to put our finger on it and just program it, and boom, it's done. It's downloaded. So, you know, all those dreams are going to come true, right? Yeah. And I didn't want to play piano so that I could be on a stage somewhere. I wanted to do it for me. It was for me, right? It's for that piece, because I think it's very meditative to watch somebody play a piano. I'm
trying to learn the guitar for the very same reason. I tried to play piano.
I couldn't teach myself the guitar.
The guitar is hard.
I bought mine about a year ago.
He's gone.
Yeah. Did you?
Who bought it for you? Excuse me?
What? You.
Who bought it for you?
You?
Yes.
Is that right?
What kind? Is it an acoustic guitar?
Yeah.
No. Is it acoustic?
Yeah, it's acoustic. I think it's
isn't that the kind you plug in?
Yamaha, I think.
Got this one here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanna learn. So I just fucks around with it.
But that's
I have a little lap harp that I do for my sound healing, and I play that a lot.
I wanted that too.
Yeah. So I do a lot of different instruments. But the guitar is the one I struggle with for some reason. I have a lyre
and drumming. Play that sometimes. Drumming. I think I'd be really good at drumming too. But not that kind of music, not that kind of drumming. I'm talking like what the natives do.
Yes.
That kind of drumming, right?
Yes. No, no, I've got drums on my wall. I love it. Like the big ones and stuff. I've got big ones on the wall there. I play those all the time. They're fun. It's very meditative. I do it.
It is. And that's what it is. It's good for the soul, you know?
Yep. Yep. So my neighbors.
We are creative beings, but we're not taught to bring that creativity out. And my schools, that's the number one thing, okay, is connecting the mind, the body, and spirit, but also with our environment. And it's my job as the adult to bring out the gifts that the children came in with, because every child has at least one, multiple, right? So it's our job as adults, and they have failed miserably, okay, in the school system. And I'm telling you,
on purpose.
So in Canada, okay, when I was going to school, and you guys know I'm in my late 60s, right? I had to pick a stream in high school in grade 11, right? I had to pick which stream, whether I was going to do the science or whether I was going to do the business. So if I did the business, I couldn't do the science and the art. Okay, so they cut me off from that in high school. Right.
Wow.
So after school, I would do dance, and I choreographed and I wrote plays, right? And skits. I was very creative, very, very creative. But yeah, it had to be on my own time, not on school time.
Right.
Right. But they cut us off, and I had to make a living. So, of course, I learned to type, and I became a secretary for a lot of years, and I supported my family, and I have nothing to feel ashamed about or anything, but I could have had a lot more, you know, that was cut off, right? Especially because it was free in school, right? When you're older, you have a family, your kids come first. I'm not going to do what I want to. I'm not one of those parents that, you know, puts myself before my children. Right. So, so that's why at 27, I finally just looked at my husband and said, I don't care what you say. And I didn't. And I just went ahead and I booked her. And, the lady who taught me, or who was my teacher for 3 months, she did the score for the Joffrey Ballet in New York.
Wow. So
she was a very gifted lady. And for the comment that she gave me has stuck with me all these years, but she made me feel amazing, you know?
So I had my son over for dinner about a month ago or so, and he's been in, he's going to college for music or voice. And he sings beautifully. And I said, I wish I could sing like that. And I said, I remember when I was a kid, you know, Christmas would come around and me and my girlfriends would go outside and we'd sing the Christmas carols and stuff like that. And my son looks at me, he goes, Everybody can sing.
That's
why. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you just have to learn, but everybody can sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I training. Was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it's training.
I don't sing because I don't even like hearing myself.
When I was younger, when I was like in my early 20s, I auditioned to dance. And the guy wanted to put me front row center. I hadn't even had any classes.
Oh, wow.
Right? Front row center. I said, no, self-esteem was not that great at 20. but you know, it just, what it's showing me was that no matter what I put my attention to, I could do.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's what it is. Right. We just don't, nobody brings that out in you. Nobody teaches you, you know? So
looking forward to it. A new world.
A new world. Yes. It's our kids. They're going to be so artistic, our children. And going forward, it's going to blow your mind. I'm talking every aspect of art, you know, music, singing, dancing. Right. I mean, I'm so crazy about all this stuff. I even want to, you know, in the native, I want to preserve throat singing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard it. Throat singing, it's called.
Yes, just they Google do it in Mongolia.
Google it. It is amazing. Okay. It's super and our native cool. people. Yeah, yeah. It is really, really beautiful. Yeah.
Actually, there's a guy
I've done it before.
Yeah, there was a guy
it's funny sounding.
on The Voice. Remember, I watched The Voice a lot. And there was this guy who came on. He was a native. And I believe, I don't know, throat singing. So during his song and singing, he came up with some throat sounds that sounded very similar to being in a forest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Very cool.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Seriously, very cool. On YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll be powerful. Amazed. There's more women that do it than men, but at least in the native community, but they're equally as good, but the women are just, they blow them out of the water. You know, because the range, they have more of a range, right? And no music, eh? There's no music. It's like a cappella, right?
Right, right.
Yeah,
it's but great it's to deep. Clear the throat chakra when you have any blockages goodness. In there. I've done it myself, and I've encouraged my daughter. We make it kind of a funny thing because it's a funny sound.
Yes.
Yeah. So we make it kind of a funny joke. Yeah. Kind of a time to play together, and we make really silly sounds, but it clears.
Yeah.
It clears that area so much. It's powerful. Yeah, well,
that's why doing the white light, that's where it gets stuck here, because normally not only is it out of balance, but it's because we've kept stuff inside. We haven't said what we needed to say to people who, you know, have upset you in whatever way, right? You know, sometimes you just need to speak your truth. You don't have to do it meanly. Right. You can still do it from your heart, but you can speak your truth. If that person doesn't like it, that's their problem. Right. It's because it's triggered them in one way or another. But instead of them noticing that, they yell back at you. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all part of have no expectations or judgments and allow for the best possible outcome.
I always speak from my heart, and I never, ever, ever intend to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. And if I can't tell you how many times I've said this to my siblings, you know, and I raised them because I'm the oldest, right? I raised the two younger ones, and it doesn't matter. They always take it. And I used to say to them, it's because there's somebody's hurt you and you've got something that you need to look at. It isn't me that hurt you because I love you, right?
Right.
And they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. So
got that button pushed.
Yep.
A lot of people don't want to hear the truth, even if it is in a loving way.
A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. My whole life, that's what Gio and I have come up against, that brick wall, no matter who it was that we were speaking to. And it got to the point where you're right, Jenny, you just withdraw, right? Yep. You just start to retreat. Like for people like us, the best thing that happened during this pandemic was that we were not allowed to go out. Right. It was perfect for us because we love it here, right? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's your space. It's your sacred space, right? And I've even said to Gio, I'm afraid that I might not want to go out anymore. So we've been forcing ourselves to go out, but we used to go out, you know, once or twice a week before the pandemic, but you know, and we're not even doing that now, not even once a week sometimes still, even though we can though. It's not like we're, there's still mask mandate here. Sorry. It's not mandated. No, people are still wearing masks here.
Oh, they're still wearing them here too in some places.
Yeah. But I mean, they're still mandated there.
No. The mandates have been lifted, but this shows you the people that are still in fear, right? Or brought up enough fear. Yeah, it's scary actually.
The VFW, or not the VFW, the Veterans Hospital that my dad's been going to, they're still making everybody wear masks.
Yeah, this is what I'm, those are the corruptest.
I know.
Institutions. Wait till you find out what they've been doing. Okay.
Oh, it's so horrific.
It's going to just blow people away when they find out.
Say that again.
There's going to be so much anger. Oh,
there's what they're doing, because it's corrupt. Right. This is why they're cabal run, cabal owned, cabal everything. Yep. And God knows what they've been doing, selling organs, you know, body parts, whatever. At the VA,
they also amputate unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily.
I had heard that the VA was going to get into trouble. And I just kind of wondered about that, because I'm a veteran. I'm retired Air Force. And I live right near an Air Force base, and I went to the hospital. Well, I was on the Zoom on a Wednesday with you guys sitting in the emergency room, and made me put a mask on. I was so mad. The girl says, I know. She says, the orders came from above. Once you get in the room, you can take the mask off. It's like, well, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but your mandates have been lifted, right?
Yes.
So you needed to stay. Sorry, but I don't know where high up you got it from, but there are no mandates, right?
And even mandate is not a law.
And it's not a law. We know that, right?
That's right.
But I'm saying, speaking in their terms, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put it on and I'll just put it down below my nose and just play their little game.
No, I won't play their game.
Well, otherwise, anywhere else, but that's just it. It's only the doctor's offices and the hospitals, but
on restaurants here in the restaurants, they're still wearing masks.
Yeah. Wow. Some of them. Yeah. Yeah. Living in fear.
Yeah. That just goes to show you how
perpetuating
deep it is.
Fear.
Yeah. But they don't expect us to wear a mask. Not that we ever wore a mask anyway.
Right. Right.
But terrible.
Yep.
Anyway. Well, we have a lot to look forward to, don't we?
Oh my goodness.
That's why we have
to
stay focused.
And we get to do it our way.
Yeah.
We get to do it our way.
Right? Yep.
No excuse now.
That's right.
So we're all going to do it together.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I learned something new tonight. So that's really awesome.
That's great.
That white light. I'll have to check it out.
Oh yeah. I've always worked with the white light. Always. Yep. My whole life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I have a show that I mod at 9, so I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted.
No, we're that's all right. We're just about done now anyway.
Yeah. So if we got do we have any last minute questions before we take off? No. We're all good.
Yep. Another interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I feel right, relaxed now.
Yeah, he liked it.
I feel enlightened.
Yes.
Aw, that's lovely. We're glad. All right.
Yeah, it was nice spending time with you so much more this time, Luna. Usually you're kind of, not really around that much. So
I know.
I miss
you. Two-man show, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm always here, though. I'm just working in the background.
Right, but you were more engaged this time.
So yes, I'm more engaged. Yeah, and I will be on a Sunday night. Right. Mondays.
Awesome. Okay.
I don't do Monday because the phase documents are not, they're not mine. So
they're my baby, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're his baby. So
you know.
I'm going to be sending a couple people your way. So.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Just have them email me. So I'm sending out one last letter to our membership, and whoever, you know, this is their last chance. I'm not, once RV is announced, I'm not doing anybody's. Because I'm going to be busy doing my own stuff.
Right.
So
right.
I got a lot of stuff and a lot for the membership that I have to do,
right?
To get it ready.
Yeah.
We're all gonna have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
Yep.
But
yep,
you especially
projects.
You've got a load full.
Yeah, we're burning the candle at both ends of the stick.
Yeah, but at least we'll be able to hire people right after. Yeah. So, yes. So we don't have to do it alone. We've been doing it 2.5 years on our own. So,
right. You'll just have to get really good at delegating.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Trust me. I can do that.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. This has been enjoyable.
Yeah. All right.